I'm Colin Bishop, and it's time for you to ask the mayor. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong is going to be our guest this afternoon to answer questions about city issues of concern to you, the listener. The phone number to call to speak with Mayor Armstrong is toll-free at 877-285-9348. That number again is toll-free at 877-285-9348. If you prefer, you can send us an email at mayor@indiana.edu, and we'll be checking that email throughout the show. Once again, I'll give you the phone number, toll-free 877-285-9348. Mayor Armstrong, how you doing? How about this this weather we're having right now, huh?
Well, I don't know. I'm inside now, but when you go out, it's a little bit different. You're right, Colin. It's been a little nasty here the last couple of days.
Yeah, they had a tornado touchdown last night, I guess, up at Camp Atterbury. Any damage in Columbus?
Yes, we had some straight line winds up by the airport that took out several trees and power lines and did some damage, flipped over a fire department trailer, and just a lot of tree limbs and trees actually down, and telephone poles or power poles also down. So it was a little hectic there for a while.
How are you guys doing in Columbus as far as tornado preparedness is concerned?
Well, as always, every spring we have a little tornado warning preparation that we, put out to the community through all of our media. But we also have warning sirens, and yesterday they went off at least two times. Sometimes people will say, and I know they do because I've said it, it seems as though the sirens will go off after something's gone through, but they cannot put those sirens on until they get a thunderstorm warning with a tornado watch or a tornado warning. So that's the difference. And sometimes people get a little upset, but that's the way we've had it, and it's worked pretty well. So the sirens are all over the community, and so far it's worked pretty well.
So it's just a procedure you've got to
follow. Yeah, it's just a procedure, sure. Yeah.
And I know we've had a couple here in Bloomington in the last couple days ourselves. So
yeah, it's good to have some type of a warning device anyway. So our central dispatch is the one that that does that. So they do a good job, and I'm glad they're there to listen and find out what's going on.
All righty. One thing I want to get to really quick before we go on to the local issues is I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this last time you were on the show. Last time you were on the show was the morning after the Indiana primaries, and then I go ahead and find out in the paper a couple days later that you were actually on the George Stephanopoulos show.
Yeah.
Sunday before the elections. How did that go?
Yeah. Oh, it went okay. We were just part of the audience, by the way.
Oh, you were? Really? Okay.
Yeah. George was there along with Hillary Clinton. And we were invited to be members of the audience and ask questions if we wanted to, which we didn't. But it was sort of nice to be there, and it was a good show. It was very interesting. Enjoyed it immensely.
So they didn't have you on as a pundit?
No, they didn't. In fact, it's probably a good thing they didn't. You know,
sure.
They want to have something exciting, and I'm a pretty boring guy.
Well, what do you think about the election right now? It looks like things are pretty much winding down for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it seems as though, it looks as though Barack Obama will be the Democrat candidate. And, I don't know yet about what's going to happen with Senator Clinton. But, you know, two strong candidates to lead our country. And that's very, very important that we've got two strong candidates. And it's going to be a battle to beat out John McCain. I'm sure it is. But it's what's best for the country, and sometimes you have to put politics aside. But when you go in that voting booth, you're not a Republican or a Democrat. I think you vote for the person who you think will do the job, and that's what you should do, and we'll see what happens to that.
Mm-hmm. And with that said, you'd been a supporter of Senator Clinton.
Yes, I certainly have, and the reason being, and is perfectly honest, I thought that if she were the candidate, that there's a good chance that Senator Bayh would be her running mate.
Sure. And, I think certainly a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, and I've worked very close with Senator Bayh, and he's helped me immensely, and he's helped the community immensely. So I thought, what an opportunity maybe to get a vice president for the state of Indiana, and someone who I know and I've worked with. So, but again, it was really between her and Barack, it was a tough decision to make because I think they're both very, very qualified candidates. But we'll see what happens this November.
All righty. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about first off is looking on your city's website, you guys have got a couple of online polls up asking the public about recycling and And there's another poll about bicycle and pedestrian information.
Yep.
What are those all about?
Well, you know, people now with gasoline prices going, we have to really take a quicker look, I think, at some bicycle safety and bicycle pedestrian areas. And we've had this group that have been working on this for quite some time, but I encourage them to, you know, get in gear a little bit, because with fuel costs the way they are, people are out there riding their bicycles, which is fine, and doing a lot of walking. Let's see what we can do to come up with some community input as to what they would like to have. And the first meeting we had, by the way, beyond the online program, was really a good meeting. A lot of people showed up, and they were inquisitive and wanted to know what was going on, and I think it was a good program. So we're hoping we get a lot of hits on that, get a lot of information from citizens, and you know, it'll work for the best.
And how's the feedback been on that so far?
Well, you know what? I told our planning director that, you know, when this thing goes down, which I think it's due to go down here pretty soon, then give me the information. Don't give me any partial information.
All right, so you don't want to know until it's all said and done.
I don't want to know until it's over. And then we'll find out how many people are really interested, number one. And number two, we'll be able to go through there and see what some of the high points are and what they're interested in. So I'm one of these guys that I know it takes longer, but I want a lot of community input.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that tries to make a decision along with the department heads, but it's one of those things. I like input from the community, because what I think's good and what some other members of the community might think might be two different things. So I just get as much input, and it's worked so far, and I think it'll be good, really good for the community.
So, and Columbus was recently named one of the nation's most walkable cities, too.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing things to actively encourage folks to walk or ride their bikes to work,
well,
get around downtown
on
foot or on their bicycles?
Yeah, we hope that this will encourage them more, actually. And, you know, our bus ridership has gone up pretty dramatically. Due to the cost in fuel. But, you know, this, of course, summer weather and warm weather gets here, and people do get their bicycles out. But I think you're going to see more of this, along with the mopeds, the adults riding them. You're going to be seeing a lot of this out here. And if people, number one, they need to be trained on how to ride them, bicycles and mopeds,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, be careful in the traffic. So there's a lot of safety things we need to talk about, but there's also a lot of safety issues we need to talk about on putting lines on the street. You know, you can always put a line on a street and draw a bicycle, but you better have a reason for that particular area and why you're doing it, and if it's best for the community. So that's why we're trying to get all the input that we can get before we push the button and get things really going.
Absolutely. You mentioned the cost of public transportation. Has ridership fares gone up recently?
Fares haven't gone up, but ridership sure has.
In fact,
for someone 55 and older, it's a dime.
Okay.
To ride the bus.
Sounds like a great deal.
Yeah, and everybody else, it's a quarter.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a big deal, but we are seeing an increase in ridership, and that's good.
Yeah, but how about costs, though, with the rising price of gasoline this summer?
Well, it's the same routes we take, but absolutely, you're right. Fuel costs are up.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 80% of this through a federal grant. So our federal tax dollars are helping us out. The buses are 15-year buses, and we just got them last year. So our buses are going to be in pretty good shape for a long time. But we do annually get our federal grant in, and, of course, the state chips in some, and, of course, the city does too. So most of it's paid through state and federal grants. But, again, we have to be right in what we do and want to make sure that the service that we provide is the right service, and we look at it every year. And, of course, people now want service out into the county.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't operate in the county, you know. So we're willing to work with the county and in any way, shape, or form that we can. But, again, it's the county that's going to have to belly up to the bar and, you know, put their share in along with, you know, we'll help them get grants and all that if that's what they want to do. So that's been kicked around, too, for quite some time. And, you know, maybe something like from Columbus up to the outlet mall.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like public transportation is pretty much okay as far as the gas prices are concerned, at least from the city budget angle.
But how about
other city agencies? Is there any concern that they're going to have to tighten their belts because of the
gas
prices?
Yes, they certainly are. I mean, they've got so much to operate on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told them all. In fact, we have department head meetings, and we discuss it. And the police department, they're looking at all their take-home cars, and they're saying you can only use this much fuel, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to reduce any public safety, but you still have your take-home cars, but you have to really be careful in what you use.
Okay.
So, yeah, you try to look at every single avenue that you can look at. In fact, I'm encouraging people to ride their bicycles to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
it cuts into their pocket,
mm-hmm. so that's another cost for them.
And has that been making a difference so far? You see more people riding their bikes, too?
I see a lot of people. I'm not so sure we see many more city employees ride their bicycle, I'll be honest with you.
Well, of course, during this week, it's been tough to do that.
Yeah, it's a little tough right now. But I guarantee you this summer, you'll see a lot of bicycles here at City Hall, and we've got a individual who wants to supply us with some bicycle racks for downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And our new parking garage that we are building, which should open at the end of the month, has a lot of bicycle racks in them. So bicyclists who ride downtown to work will have a place to park their bicycles.
Okay. Just want to remind listeners right now that you're listening to Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. You can give him a call and speak with the mayor at 877-285-9348. That toll-free number again is 877-285-9348. You can also send us, an email at mayor@indiana.edu, and we'll be checking that email throughout the show.
Now, if this crazy old guy, Jim Trowbaugh, would happen to call in,
mm-hmm.
You know, just X him out.
Yeah? Friend of yours?
Ex-mayor of Kokomo.
Okay.
He listens to you all the time, and he keeps threatening he's going to call in. So
we'll keep an ear out for him.
Okay.
Got a couple of emails here already, Mayor. Going to go ahead and read the first one. Here we go. BCSC school board officials had a long conversation about energy efficiency last night. What sort of things is the city of Columbus doing to conserve energy? Are fuel prices hurting your budget?
Yes, and yes. Fuel prices are hurting our budget like everybody else's budget, so we're taking a look at them.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone to summer hours with the city, which we get in an hour earlier and go home an hour earlier. Because the heat of the day, you know, comes in about 4 o'clock anymore. So that way we can reduce our air conditioning and turn our lights off or minimize them anyway. So, yeah, we try to look at everything. In fact, we're in the near future be contracting with a company that looks at all energy savings. And, you know, we've talked to several of these companies, and we want to make sure we get the right one. And we'll be signing a contract to look at other ways that we can save energy because, let's face it, it's not only our homes, but government has to look at the same things to try to save money as much as they can. In fact, I had an employee this morning say, Mayor, I know what we can do. We can go to four days a week, 10 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it sounds good, but when people want their government, they don't want them to be on a three-day weekend.
Sure.
You know, it may work with some other companies, private companies, but with government, that's difficult. But, you know, their ideas and their thinking, and I think that's great.
Okay. Or what about a 980 schedule, maybe a compromise?
You never know.
Okay.
You never know.
I got another email right here. It asks, and this is something we were going to get to later in the show, but might as well talk about it right now. A recent item in the Republic stated that Marines would be practicing maneuvers in Columbus neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Please
yeah.
give more information about this.
Well, when they come to our neighborhood, the newspaper, a local newspaper here, and the radio stations will know. Now, what happened, I'm just telling you, this happened in another city in another state, and I don't know if you remember, but no one knew that they were going to be in town, and boy, let me tell you, it was wreaking havoc. They thought they were being, you know, attacked.
Okay.
So, yes, we have been told by this outfit that is helping the military. With these Marines, though, we'll be able to tell the community, you know, here's when they're going to be at a certain location and here's what they're going to be training for and all that. So, yeah, it's important that communication's out there. And I think there's been one negative in the newspaper about we have an Onions and Orchids, and I don't know if you do in Bloomington or not, but
sure, we have
certainly do. And I guess it's a form of entertainment, but we did get an onions about the Marines practicing. Let me tell you, I want them to practice. I want them in our community, and I want them well-trained in case we need something. Hope we never have to, but in case we do, we want them well-trained. And they are looking at urban warfare and all this, so we want them qualified military people, and if we can help them in any way, shape, or form, make it easier for them, we'll do it.
And this is going to be similar to the training recently in Indianapolis?
Yes,
programs?
Uh-huh. Okay. Same thing.
What have you guys been doing to get people, to make people aware that this is going to happen? Or do you think that most folks in Columbus right now know that this is actually going to be happening?
I think most will know, but they don't know the exact dates, and I don't have the exact dates yet. But they've been working with our local police department and fire department. So when the exact dates are down, we'll certainly tell everybody and let everybody know. And, you know, not everybody takes the paper, not everybody listens to the radio. So somebody's going to miss out. But they know that in the month of June they're going to be here.
Okay. So, well, the most recent story in the paper about that reported the dates from June 13th to 19th. So I don't know if that's changed, but sometime around then.
Yeah, it's going to be in those areas. But I don't have the exact hour and minute that it'll all take place. Some of it's going to be at night. Some of it during daylight hours. So.
Okay, gotcha. Well, back to the subject about the downtown, talking about pedestrian and bicycle traffic. I know that you were talking recently about changing some of those city streets from one-way to two-way, or was it two-way to one-way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that going to have a big impact on
that? Yeah, it's right now we've got Cummins is going to have their new small engine manufacturing plant here in Columbus. And last night, first reading in City Council was to change the one-way streets that we have in Columbus to two-way streets from 2nd Street to 6th Street. That'll be a change, and probably when it gets closer with the Cummins building and the hotel and the conference center and the Commons, when that starts to being built and towards completion, we're probably going to change the one-way on 4th Street, which is in front of these buildings, to a two-way.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be coming up in the future. And last night, the question was asked in council meeting, will people be confused? And our city engineer, rightfully so, said, well, no, if they look at all the traffic signs and signals and they read the paper, let me tell you, it'll be a fiasco.
Okay.
We know that. The first day or two on anything is a fiasco. Nothing more, people gawking.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to minimize that through media relations and a lot of signage. And the police officers will be standing by and all that. But, it'll be something different that they haven't seen. And sure, it's going to be a little difficult. But I think it's also going to save a lot of trouble in the long run. So.
And what's the advantage of this change?
Well, the advantage is getting moving people in and out of the big parking lot for Cummins. The employees will be coming in off of Central Avenue, which is our big boulevard, and the visitors, which they plan on having many visitors, will be coming in on another side. So most of these visitors will be from out of town. We don't want them confused, so it's going to be pretty easy to tell them, you turn north at 2nd and California and proceed two blocks, and there's the Cummins visitors parking lot. So it's going to be less confusing for visitors, which we hope will reduce any potential traffic hazards. And our local citizens will certainly get used to it very quickly, especially if they use those particular roads every day.
Okay. Well, speaking of all that additional downtown traffic, city's going to be or building a couple new hotels now. Well, the city's not going to be building them, but four new hotels coming up?
Well, no, actually.
Or is that in addition to the one that's already?
Yeah, we opened the one in February. It's open now. And at the end of this month, the second new hotel will start to be built across our right where the mall was, along with the conference center. In fact, the steel for the new Cummins office building, I think, is already on the fourth floor, and they've done that in just about 2 weeks. So things are really hopping downtown, and I'm guessing that about October area, the city's portion of the Commons will start to be built, we're hoping, if we get all the details worked out. we'll get that under construction. So what we want to do is make sure we can get this thing built, because there are so many public activities that are being missed out at the Commons, and we want to make sure that we can get this built and built right, where we can bring these people back downtown.
Now, is part of this hotel construction in anticipation of the Super Bowl in 2012?
Well, it wasn't in anticipation, but you know what? They will be used, I guarantee you.
Sure.
They'll be filled for miles and miles around. It'll certainly help us. In fact, I talked to the former governor, Joe Kernan, the other day, and he was going to be visiting Columbus with some of his friends like he does every year, and I told him about our Hotel Indigo. He ought to call them and see if they can get in, and they're booked.
Yeah, already,
so,
huh?
We're busy. So it's great. We like to see our downtown flourish and a lot of people downtown, and, you know, it's just different. We haven't had that for a while, and not that our downtown was bad. It certainly wasn't bad, but this is just going to make it a lot better.
And will any of those new other new hotels be built in time for, I think the men's Final Four is going to be in Indianapolis in 2010, and then the women's either in the following year or also in 2012?
Yeah, we're going to have where there will be two new hotels, I believe, will be up at Taylorsville, which is one exchange from Columbus. And, oh, yeah, those things will be booked. I mean, all the hotels around here will be booked. And, in fact, there's an overflow now with the Indianapolis 500 being a little bit more important than what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start seeing people like it used to be packing our hotels for 2 or 3 days for the 500.
Did you see an influx this year of visitors?
Well, no, because it's normal. I mean, Holiday Inn was booked, and the hotels out by I-65
were booked. Okay, so nothing out of the ordinary.
No, nothing out of the ordinary.
But everything was at capacity.
But everything was at capacity. So that's good. You know, that's great. So,
want to remind listeners that Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong is our guest. You can call in and speak with the mayor toll-free at 877-285-9348. That number again, toll-free, is 877-285-9348. Or send us an email here at mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor, we got another email here. This one is back on the subject of city streets and Cummins. It sounds to me like the city is bending over backwards to change the streets for the sake of Cummins. Is it appropriate for a private company to dictate your traffic policy?
Well, no, but that's why we run some traffic studies to make sure that's the proper thing to do. And the city engineer said yes, it's not going to be unsafe. And if we can make it safer for visitors visiting our community, why not? I mean, there's people out there, like I've said before, and I don't know who this person is, and they're not dictating to us. If the traffic studies would have come back and said, no, don't do it, it's not safe, we certainly wouldn't have done it by all means. But, you know, you got certain people that think that, you know, well, Cummins must run our community. Well, they don't run it, but they do participate in it. And the more participation that we have from companies like Cummins or Toyota or NTN or anybody, we're going to do what we can to, because they're part of the community also. But we have to also make sure, without a doubt, that things that are changed are done for safety reasons and making things a little bit easier. And this is not going to hurt anything. It's not going to hurt any business. It'll make it safer for visitors moving into the city. It's four blocks one way and four blocks another way that's affected. So it's a change, and most Hoosiers don't like change. You know, it's like I've told people before, and you know, there's 40,000 people who live in Columbus, and I could give all 40,000 people a $100 bill. But there'll be 100 of them that'll want 520.
Okay.
You know, that's just the way it is, and that's okay. I'm glad it is that way, because you do take a look and say, hey, mate, are we doing the right thing, or what? So, no, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's great that people have other visions and other ideas, and we try to work with them, and we try to answer the questions just like we just did.
All right. We got just a few minutes left here. One more email to get to. What will happen to my family bricks that I bought? They were placed in front of the Commons, and my children love seeing them. Mary,
oh,
I guess a lot of the bricks downtown have been removed right now. What are the plans to
put them back?
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, what we did...
Where are they right now, by the way?
They're being stored.
Okay.
And they're being stored in a secure place. So
yeah.
When it's finally...
Undisclosed location.
Great email, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad this person did that. Yeah, they're being stored. In fact, we're going to encourage other people to get bricks. mm-hmm. because it's a great opportunity now here in the near future. It'll be next year, but to start getting those bricks. And, yeah, they'll all be put down in virtually the same place they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were platted out where they were, and it was a time, painstaking thing to do, but, by golly, it was done because we knew people would complain and
sure.
or else could be concerned. And I don't blame them. I would be concerned also. So, boy, I think whoever wrote that one, they did a good job.
Concerned citizens. Can you give us a quick update on Commons real quick?
Well, right now, yeah, the architects were in for the city's portion last week. Unfortunately, I wasn't here, but I've got some people that are really good people looking at the last-minute changes and what could be done, et cetera. I think it's going to be exciting for Columbus, and I'm guessing in the next 2 months we'll have finalized conceptuals and drawings of the Commons. What it is, again, we had a lot of community input. Even at these last meetings, people came in and said, hey, we'd like to see this. And you take a look at it and say, hey, it doesn't cost any more. Why not? So that's the kind of community that we have. We have people, even though they may not agree with the project, at least will give their input. And some, you know, it's like I've told you before, my wife and I have been married for over 38 years, and we don't agree on everything. But at the end of the day, it all works out.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this is, too. And it's going to be exciting for Columbus. And I hear people talk about, oh, we can't wait. And I can't either. It's an exciting thing for our community for a long time to come.
Well, Mayor, we just got a couple minutes left here. You want to go ahead and talk really quick about the sister city?
Yes, it was excellent. My last visit, which was in April, to China, we officially signed a sister city relationship with the city of Wuxi. Wuxi is about the same size of Columbus. It's between 6 and 7 million people, about the state size or the population of the state of Indiana. But the thing that is so good is that they're big into manufacturing, and they're big into agriculture, and they're big into education. So those are the same things that we look at, and it's going to be great to have exchanges of people and learn from one another. I think it's very exciting for the city of Columbus, and again, we've got a Chinese company that just bought 36 acres here in Columbus that will be starting up their business in the near future. And it's just a better way to build we're a global society and we're a global community, and I'm excited about that also.
And Mayor, we just have maybe 30 more seconds for you here. If you could just go ahead and give us a quick – I know you want to mention the Friends of Fred golf benefit.
Oh, yeah,
next month.
We forgot about that. Yeah, this year they wanted it continued, although I'm not going to run again. It's a Friends of Fred golf tournament on July the 16th at Timbergate Golf Course. It's $100 to play, $125 if you want a hole sponsor, and all the proceeds go to the new Milray Center. And I think it's a great benefit, and I hope a lot of people show up to play. They can contact my office at 376-2500 if they want to, and we'll get them in that tournament.
All right, Mayor. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you,
Colin. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. I'm Colin Bishop. Join us again next Wednesday when Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett will be our guest. Thanks for listening. John Shelton is our engineer. Adam Ragusa is the producer. Support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lapp in Real Estate.